Hey y'all, welcome back to the Empowering the Future of Agriculture podcast with me, Carson Osteen. Today, I have a special episode planned. I really want to get on here and talk about my week at the 97th National FFA Convention and Expo. So today, I'm going to take a deeper dive into everything that I did, some of the people that I ran into, some of the most inspirational things that you will probably hear in a hot minute. And pretty much, yeah, just everything that I got to experience this past week. So buckle up and sit back, because this is about to be a pretty good episode, I'm hoping. So National Convention is always a highlight for me. This was my second year going to National Convention, and I'm always excited to go, because you have people from all 52 state associations, including Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. You have people there representing what they're proud of. Agriculture is something that I have had an inborn fondness for agriculture is something that I have had an inborn fondness for probably a decade. Ever since I got my first toy tractor. It was a... So, a little funny, little sidebar here. So, I was around 3 years old, and I fell off of a swing, okay? It was a wooden swing. I fell off and hit my head on a big old root to a big old tree. Well, the reason I fell off of the said swing was because I was holding two toy John Deere STS combines instead of holding the ropes to the swing. So, as you would expect, I kind of, you know, fell back, popped my head on the root. The swing came back, popped me in the head again, busted my head open, had to go to the hospital, staples. It was a nightmare. But my great aunt, enticed me, and she was like, Carson, if you don't act bad, if you don't cry, whatever, I'll take you to go get a Case IH Module Express 635 cotton picker toy. And at the time, I was ecstatic about that. Like, I absolutely loved Case cotton pickers. So this is actually like really funny. So I actually grew up around those, you could say. I was so fascinated seeing how poorly is how I'm going to put it. But I was so fascinated with seeing how the bales are packed, how the cotton is straight from the stalk to a bale to the gin. Like, I'm fascinated with the processes that agricultural commodities go through, and cotton, I guess, was that big first thing for me. So I grew up, I was kind of, you know, growing up around the cotton, you know, seeing that, corn, beans, all that too. But watching cotton, I was just so fascinated. I mean, three-year-old me falling off a swing and onto a root. My connections with agriculture are pretty deep. I have put my blood, sweat, and literal tears into agriculture over the past year. So this convention was nothing short of that. So I really don't remember where I was going, but we're going to get back on track. So like I said, a decade or so, I've been connected to agriculture in some kind of way. I kind of had a little spell where I would say I wasn't as connected with agriculture. Of course, I was always connected by playing the latest farming simulator game or going outside and just sitting and watching the farmers that have land right across from my house plant the soybeans, harvest the corn, do double crops. Like, it was just so fascinating for me watching them go and put herbicides, pesticides, everything on the field. It's just so fascinating to me. At the ripe age of probably 8 years old, here I am trying to, this is actually like a really funny part. These videos will come to light eventually. I have them saved on an old computer. We'll talk about them another day, but at the ripe age of eight or nine, 10 years old, I'm starting a YouTube channel and nobody in my family knew about it. But the name wasn't very original, but besides the point, here I am starting a YouTube channel where I'm highlighting literal, like, John Deere machinery. I think I had a basket picker one day I was talking about. One of the old John Deere three-wheel sprayers. Them things fascinate the fire out of me. Don't really know why, but they do. It's just so exciting, and it entices me to know more. Ever since like I started my toy tractor collection, I've just like always been like, wow, this is really, really cool. So agriculture and me, we go way, way back. I mean, like I said, I've told this story before, and I kind of want to just talk about it a little more before I, go deeper into nationals. Because it's all going to come full circle in a minute. Just trust the process. This is about to be the biggest trust the process episode that I have ever put out. But anyways, but like I think the first farming simulator that I ever played was Farming Simulator 2012. That game, it was like the one of the big, I think it was like the first game that Case IH was officially licensed by the company that makes the game. And that was big for me. I grew up around Case IH. Don't kill me, no John Deere. John Deere people, do not kill me. I always loved Case IH more. It was my like jam. I loved them growing up. I mean, the Steigers, the Quadtracks, the Axial Flow Combines, the Module Express 635s, everything. I just loved Case IH. Now, I can say that that love has kind of shifted towards a different color in recent years due to many reasons. But anyways, but that love that I've always had for agriculture has always proven to be prominent. Every time that I get the chance to find some way to be involved in ag, I'm gonna do it. And the craziest part is I've always been that way. I mean, whether it be going to my local tractor supply and supporting them for anything, or going and watching a farmer harvest this field because I'm just so enticed. I've always been connected to agriculture, and that connection really was, that really came back to life throughout this week. So I'm gonna basically give my little convention rundown because it was a heck of a week. So we start off on Monday. We actually left. So October 21st, our Haywood FFA officer team loads up in the literal shortest bus that Haywood County Schools has to offer. The bus had seven seats, and we had eight people going. So we had to have two of our advisors drive one of the nice County Tahoe, Haywood County School CTE Tahoes that we had just got, while we were on the bus with our other advisor. And we had seven seats for eight people. And you can imagine how much of a nightmare that was for some folks. I mean, not for me. I'm 6'4". I literally cannot share a seat with anybody. But yeah, we load up on October 21st. We hit the road and we head to Kentucky. So we went to Cave City, Kentucky. We stayed in an Airbnb. We actually had an officer retreat planned at the end of September, but unfortunately, Hurricane Helene came through. Our school system kind of forced us to cancel those plans, so we had to hold off. But we had the agenda, we had everything that we needed to be done. We just needed a time to do it because we had all this stuff, but we didn't want it to go to waste. So we got it approved by our school board to leave a day early for nationals. Except we're going to stop in Cave City, Kentucky. We're going to have our officer retreat, and then we're going to go explore Mammoth Cave, which it was an experience. Yeah. So we stayed the night in Kentucky. We put the final touches on our POA. We put the final touches on a certain conference that Haywood FFA is leading in a few weeks. Overall, we had a great time. We had advisors telling ghost stories. We sat by the fire and made s'mores. Overall, it was a fantastic time of bonding and appreciation to our officers. I absolutely have the honor to serve with seven of the most influential people in, like, probably in my life. I mean, the Haywood FFA officer team, we've done so much over the past year, not year, since May 7th, and it's honestly exciting to see where we will continue to go. I mean, we're led by some of the best advisors in the region, and it's so exciting to just see what all ideas that our chapter has. And it's really exciting to be at the forefront of putting those ideas into action. I mean, y'all know how it is when you have an idea, you really want to see it come about, but sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But it's always special whenever you do see that idea come to action and come and flourish into a, you know, bright, blooming thing. Now, you know, it's kind of crazy then. So we, you know, we wrap up the night, we all go to bed, and early in the morning, we put the final touches on everything, and then we hit the road to Mammoth Cave National Park in the dab smack middle of Kentucky. And well, to say the least, it was an experience. So we get up to the visitor center and we're like, oh my gosh, we have to do a tour of a cave. And we literally get there at 12:01 p.m. And the last cave tour that fit our time frame was at 12 p.m. So we did not get to do a cave tour, but we got to go on a hiking trail, which was very, very eventful. We saw two snakes, heard plenty of animals, saw a big old squirrel, and yeah, it was eventful. It was a bonding experience, to say the least. I found out that I'm a little bit scared of snakes, even if it is a little tiny snake that I can easily step on and kill. I'm still scared of them, but another story for another day. Anyways, so we finally leave that thing and we go and eat. Oh, we ate somewhere, whatever. And then we get on the road, head into Indianapolis, Indiana. Now, if y'all know anything about Indianapolis, it is about 6 hours and like 50 odd minutes or whatever from Haywood County, Tennessee. So we had shaved off about an hour and a half, 2 hours, two and a half maybe, because we had gotten through Nashville and everything. Three. We had shaved off a few hours, and, you know, it's time to get on the road and head up to Indy. We stop at a Subway, we ate, and we hit the road, and it was a long, long drive. So, if y'all know anything, it is not very comfortable when you're 6'4", trying to find a comfortable position to lay on the bus. I mean, it's not comfortable for anybody, and when you do find a comfortable position, it's time for us to stop and go up in a gas station. I mean, it never fails to happen. So we finally hit the road, and, you know, we're getting through Louisville, and we're heading on up into Indiana, and then we finally get to Indianapolis. So we're in Indianapolis, and we get to the hotel, and the hotel was a little bit, you know, on the interesting side, to say the least. The rooms had a very prominent certain smell. The beds were tiny. But we had a balcony. It overlooked the pyramids in Indianapolis, whatever those are. So it was an interesting hotel. And we enjoyed it. We made the best of it. But by the time we got there, we all were literally ready to pass out. Like, we were so tired. It's crazy how tired you can get from something. And National Convention hadn't even started, and we were this tired, which we were in for a treat. So we finally finish that day, and then here we go, 7 o'clock the next morning. So this was more of a me thing. So FFA in the USA, Miss Julie Woodard, Mr. Larry Downs, all the people on that team had the idea to bring us in for a tour of Lucas Oil Stadium. And my day for the tour was Wednesday at 9 o'clock. And me and my advisor, Miss Coates, we get up and we go to the tour. And so we start off the tour. We head up to the press box. We get to meet Miss Julie. We get to meet Mr. Larry. We get to meet all of the social media team for National FFA. And I honestly can't express how exciting it was to meet the people who are behind those cool posts that you see. I mean, those TikToks. Yeah, we met the creators. So we get to do that, and then we head over, we pick up our shirt, and then we pick up the certificate that was a note that was written from Morgan Anderson, the 2023-2024 Eastern Region Vice President. Yeah. We get to pick up a note from her, and then we head on over to the press box. We get to look down as the national officers are doing the final rehearsals before the first general session. It was exciting to see Canyon. I think it was Canyon Grant. Carter was down there. I saw Emily, Morgan, and Carter, Amara. They were all down there. They were practicing, and it was so exciting to just see. It was really cool. And we finally finished the press box area, and then Miss Julie is like, "All right, guys, come on. We're going to go down to the floor." And I got happy because I had never been on the floor. I had never been close to the stage. We're always up in the nosebleeds because we don't tend to line up the earliest for sessions. Anyways, but we get down to the floor and we're literally walking out on the floor as the national officers are still rehearsing. At one point, you look up and like they're talking about something. Like, it was so cool seeing them rehearse. And I mean, we're on the floor. Like, nothing can get more better than that. We walk around. I mean, Lucas Oil Stadium is literally probably the biggest place that I've ever been. I mean, it is an architectural, like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's so exciting and so cool. I mean, Indianapolis architecture as a whole is just so enticing to me. But yeah, so we got to go out on the floor, and then we, got to look around Lucas Oil, and then it was time for us to go tour the FFA Live newsroom, which, if you don't know what that is the way, it's the place that, FFA, is hosting, you could say, their, hour-long shows that cover conventions. So, Nicole Pence was the broadcaster, you could say. We got to meet her. We talked to her for a good little bit. Her and Miss Julie just talked about what all they're doing with FFA Live. And it was really, really cool to just sit and see exactly how that was going. And, of course, this was the first day of convention, so the videos hadn't quite started going public yet, but it was really, really cool and all. So we wrapped up the tour. Miss Julie kind of gives her closing remarks, and she gives us our engage pin, which was pretty cool. So first hour of convention, I already have one pin down. But that tour is wrapping up, and it was honestly one of the coolest things because, I mean, I've always wanted to, like, see the behind the scenes of, like, a big old stadium. And that checked off one thing. And then seeing the behind the scenes of National FFA, that's just wow. Anyways, so it is done. We're done with that. And then we head on over to the convention hall for the expo and the shopping mall. So this is honestly one of my favorite parts of convention as a whole. I love going and just going and seeing all of the exhibitors that attend every year. So it's always exciting to see all the businesses, all the colleges. And with the shopping mall, if anybody knows anything about me, is that I will blow any amount of money, like, on the dumbest stuff. I mean, this year, it was reasonable purchases, I promise. So, I bought probably about 10 FFA shirts, jackets, a state degree chain. Plenty of stuff that I needed, right? Anyways, so we finish up. We did not finish up anything. My bad, I'm jumping ahead. So, we finally get to explore the shopping mall, and it's pretty exciting. I mean, we get to see all the shopping there is to do there. The Shop FFA store instantly had a good bit of my money, but besides the point. And then the expo opens at 12 o'clock on the dot on Wednesday. And instantly, like, the sea of blue jackets that overtook the convention, I mean, the expo hall is so cool. I mean, you're going in there, you're talking with your big companies, you're going in there to talk to all the colleges that you really, really want to go to. And I didn't go to the expo that day because by the time that we had gotten done with our day, it was time to leave at 3 o'clock because we had a certain event going on that night. So, yeah. So we left the convention around 3 that day. We went to the hotel, we got ready, and then we were on the way to see Megan Maroney in concert. So, if y'all know anything about me, it is that I am obsessed with Megan Maroney. So lately I have been like on the tear of her music. I'm like in the top 1% listeners, 0.1%, something like that. I just like her music. And, you know, as soon as I saw that Megan Maroney was doing the National FFA concert, I literally texted my advisor and I was like, oh my gosh, we have to go. And we ended up getting floor seats. We were about five rows off the stage. It was pretty, pretty cool. So we got to see Megan Maroney up close. And yeah, so that was like the best hour of my life. It was so exciting to just hear her and see all the FFA members that were also excited for her as well. So that's how day one ended. So day two, which was my last full day at convention. So our chapter, we don't stay the whole time, which I wish we did, but anyways. So we don't stay the whole time, but we do a lot when we're there. So Thursday, we wake up bright and early. We had to be ready by 5 or like 6 a.m., so we had to get to session 1B, which was the morning session on Thursday. It's always the early session. I'm not the biggest fan of early sessions just because I kind of like to sleep. And running off of Lonnie's is not always my number one choice. So we wake up and we're headed down to Lucas Oil for the morning or session 1B on Thursday morning. So we get there and, you know, we got our decent, we actually didn't sit too bad. It was decent seats. And it was time for the session to start. So all the national officers do their little skit with talking about the big engagement. And then it is time for them to do the thing that I love. I love when the six national officers come together and do that little speaking part at the beginning of the first general session. I mean, their whole thing today, this year was, we will change the future. And I guarantee you all 1,027,273 FFA members will be the ones to change the future. So we sat through that session a little bit, and then it's time for Kevin Wansner, the keynote speaker for opening session, to come on stage. So I was watching the RFD TV live stream of session 1A. When I saw that Kevin Wansner, whatever, was talking about a few things that I was like, what in the world? Anyways, so it's time to hear him live. So he starts off, and he started off with a bang. I mean, dude can make you laugh. FFA Sniff'em, the first keynote address, like, buy one grape. He is literally probably the one of the funniest persons ever. And then, you know, whenever he took his face and he put it on top of that big Taylor Swift mural on the JW Marriott, it was so exciting. So it was exciting. He made me laugh a lot, which is something that I really wanted at 8 o'clock in the morning. So Kevin Wansner was a heck of a keynote speaker. There's just so many funny things that he said that, yeah. So, what else happened? So, we finish up the session, then we head on over to the expo hall. And this day, I wouldn't say was as busy, but I still came out of it walking roughly around 9 miles in official dress shoes. Which is literally a nightmare for me because my official dress shoes are the absolutely epitome of painful. It's bad. So I finally get to, or we finally leave and we head on over to the expo hall. and we get to start looking around. So, first place I go is to talk to colleges because instantly I'm like, okay, it is time to start talking to people. So, I went to the UT Martin booth. I got to talk with some of the best people ever there. I'm so excited. So, this is another sidebar. I've got a preview day planned for UT Martin this Saturday, November 2nd. I'm going to be going and touring their college, looking at their ag communications, ag business programs. I'm really excited. So I did that, and then I head on over to the UT Knoxville booth, and I talked to Delaney Turner, the 23-24 Middle Tennessee State Vice President. Jeez, I cannot talk right now. And I talked to her about the opportunities that UT Knox offers, and it was really exciting to just sit and hear everything that UT Knox has to offer. And I don't know. Choosing a college is going to be hard for me is the gist of the conversation. I then went on over to the National FFA Agri Science Fair. And when I tell you, them Agri Science Fair projects were some of the best things that I've ever read. There were so many about chickens, and I loved it. I've got 16 chickens, and I'm seriously considering making my Agri Science Fair project for the next year about chickens. And I got to read Nate Mason's the national winner from Tennessee. His project was really, really w good. And if anybody got the chance to read it, I know you know how good that project was. And I'm so proud that he was able to win that division. So I read all those projects. I stood there for about 45 to 50 minutes reading those. And then I'm walking around a little more, and then I run into some good friends from Stewart's Creek. I ran into Kaysen Miller, Ari Emoto, Jalen Deersman, and then Abby Woodward from Dyer County. Ran into them, talked to them for a little while, just checked up on how everything was going for them. And then it was time to wander around a little more. I wandered around, and then it was time for a workshop. And I got to do the workshop titled Getting to Where You Want to Go. So I was invited to attend this workshop with Sophia Stutz, Molly Tips, and a few others. I can't remember the names right now. But I was invited to come to that workshop. And I got to meet some people from Iowa. There was a girl from Colorado. And of course, our Tennessee folk, Go Rocky Top. So we sit through this workshop. It was a past, I think, Texas state officer and a past Florida state officer that led this workshop. And it was really cool and enticing to just see how to build a resume. It's going to be really helpful whenever I'm applying for governor school, and regional office and everything else in the future. So it was really enticing and cool just to sit there and, of course, getting to grow closer with Sophia and all these other people. It was really, really cool to just get to know them better. As I mean, these are the people that are gonna end up inevitably guiding me through many things in FFA throughout the remainder of my career, and even have the potential on serving on future teams with them. So why not start building the connections? So we sat through that workshop, and unfortunately, that was the last thing that I got to do at national conventions. So, I then went to, I think I did go to the shopping mall and bought like five more things, 'cause I have no self-control whatsoever, but besides the point. So I do that, and then it is time for our chapter to leave for the final time. And it's bittersweet. I love national convention. I hate that our chapter does not stay the whole time. But at the end of the day, we were all about as dead as zombies. Like, it was so bad. But yeah, so we went and ate that Thursday night. Really nothing exciting. And Friday morning we left. So that's about all that I have for our convention. But that is not where my convention stopped. I watched every single retiring address that was given. Grant Norfleet's. Like, this is one that I really want to talk about. So I met Grant at the Tennessee FFA State Convention this past year. Funny story, I've never told this story to anybody. Only me, the eight past state officers in Grant know this story. I posted something on my story regarding how his keynote address at the Tennessee State Convention was phenomenal. I loved listening to it, and I posted it on my story and tagged him and all that kind of stuff. And then he was like, "Oh my gosh, we have to meet up or something for like a picture." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh." So this would be like the second national officer I ever got to meet. I got to meet Harson Cantrell at the Tennessee FFA Leadership Training Camp in 2023. She was really, really sweet. May have confused my name and hers multiple times, besides the point. So, got to meet her, but Grant, it was different. So, I said, "Yeah, obviously, I really would like to meet up for a picture." And by the way it was looking, it was not looking too promising. So it's the night after the state degree ceremony. So if you know anything about the state degree ceremony, it is always the night before state convention is over. So I hadn't met Grant yet, and I was honestly giving up hope. I was like, "Yeah, it's not gonna happen. I'm not gonna have time, whatever." And then out of nowhere, I look over at Baskin-Robbins. So we have this chapter member, and she loves ice cream, just like me. And I look over because she's walking to Baskin-Robbins to get some ice cream. And I look over and I'm like, "Is that Hannah? Like Harold?" And then I keep looking. I'm like, "Wait, is that Ella?" And then I just keep looking and looking and looking. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, that's the state officers." And then I look a little more and I'm like, "Oh, there's Grant too." And then, I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I have to work up the nerve. I have to work up the nerve. I have to work up the nerve to go over here and talk to him, because this is my like only chance to get to meet the National Officer Grant, or get to meet the Grant Norfleet." And I was scared. I mean, I walked across that crosswalk and I walked up, and I was the most awkward, shy, scared person that there was. I start talking to him and he is like, "Oh my gosh, I absolutely love what you're doing." And then the most random thing ever, Hannah Harrell says, "Oh my gosh, Carson is literally doing the best at what he does." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, like these people remember." Like, it was so, I mean, it's so exciting. But I got to meet Grant and we snapped a picture real quick in front of the Baskin-Robbins, and it was just so exciting. So I watched his retiring address, and when I tell you that his retiring address was one of the most moving things that I have ever heard, I literally mean it. After building that one-on-one connection with somebody, you get really, really sad whenever you hear their retiring address, because that means their time in FFA is over. Like, it's so sad to just see that like time end. But I watch Grant's retiring address and I instantly shoot him a message and I'm like, "Hey, your retiring address was just so inspirational, like so moving." And he's like, "Oh my gosh, Carson, I literally was thinking about you whenever I wrote this retiring address," talking about how he was glad that the shy little Carson came up to him and saw him as Grant, as and not as, the National Officer Grant. While I did freak out because it's literally a national officer, that's besides the point. I still saw him as a person and as a, great friend. So that retiring address really moved me and so many others. And obviously that is not where my week ended, with watching retiring addresses. I then went on to watch Emily Gossett's, and with Emily, I never have had the one-on-one connection with her. I never had a interaction in person with her, but I've always appreciated everything that she's done, and she's really, really cool from everything that I've seen, and I've heard Tennessee FFA loves her, so why should I not? And it's so exciting to see. I loved hers. Her talking about home, it was just a whole retiring address that really moved me and so many others to literal tears. Like, Emily's retiring address just hit home, and it was awesome. And then so I haven't watched Carter Howell's yet. I have to watch his. I have to watch Canyon's. But I did watch Amara's, and Amara is she's really, really one of the most inspirational people that I could say that I've ever, not met. So I haven't ever got the chance to meet Amara in person, but everything that I've seen, I mean, I've seen that so many people absolutely love the person she is. And that's something that I find really important because her support system is something that I love to see. I mean, she's such a great person, and watching her retiring address about how to not get caught up in the distractions of everything and not, knowing where you are, and it was just so empowering. And I thought I was done for the day with the emotions, and then it's Saturday, I watch a mayor's address, and then it's time for the election of the 2024-2025 National FFA officer team. And obviously I'm from Tennessee. I'm cheering on my girl. I'm cheering on Faith Cook, the 2022-23 state secretary. Faith had been through so much this year, and overall she's just such a great person. Like, she's one of the ones that instantly I saw in FFA and I was like, oh my gosh, I want to be like her. It's always exciting to see somebody that you've followed for 2+ years now get the chance to go and serve as a national officer candidate, even. But it was so exciting to see Faith go and shine on that stage. Unfortunately, she did not get selected for a position, but I know that she put everything that she had into those interviews, into everything, and that she's represented Tennessee to her best ability over the past 2 years, and it's so exciting. I know the future is super bright for her as a whole, but it was so exciting to just see her shine at what she does. And then I was also cheering on a handful of others. I know Jael Cruickshank was a national officer candidate, so Josiah's sister, the past Oregon FFA state president. I always liked seeing what she was doing. And yeah, she was really excelling over in Oregon. And I was also cheering on Miranda Good. So funny little story. She's from New Mexico, and last year at the Lainey Wilson concert, the New Mexico FFA state officer team was sitting directly in the row in front of us. And I looked over, and instantly I never communicated with them, but I looked over and it looked like Miranda was just being so sweet to everybody around her, like state officer team and not. And after that, I was like, oh my gosh, she seems so sweet. So when I figured out she was running for national office, I was like, oh my gosh, she's so, like, perfect for the position. But yeah, so unfortunately those three did not get the positions that we had hoped they would. But it was so exciting to see them go and excel on the national stage for absolutely everything they can set their mind to. I know that's not the end of the road for them. Every one of them has such a bright future, along with the other candidates that unfortunately did not get selected. But moving on to the six that did. So, I'm watching the live stream on RFD TV, and the first name to be called is the 2024-2025 Southern Region Vice President from the state of Georgia, Jack Lingenfelter. I think that's how you say his last name. I really hope I didn't just butcher that. Sorry, Jack, if I did. I think it's Lingenfelter. Lingenfelter. Yep, got it. Anyways, so the first name to be called is your 2024-2025 Southern Region Vice President from Georgia, Jack Lingenfelter. And I'm instantly like, oh my gosh, this is so, like, it's happening. I'm always sad to see the ushering of an old officer team out. But I'm always excited to see the new one come in. So that's the name's called. Jack is up on stage. And then I don't remember the exact order that they go in, but after that, it's then time to name the next one. So they're going, you're 2020, oh my gosh, I cannot talk. You're 2023, 2024, Western Region Vice President from the state of California, Abigail Jacobson. And it was so exciting. I mean, seeing their faces, seeing them run, it was just like, yep. And then you're 2024, 2025, Eastern Region Vice President from the state of Kentucky, Caroline Groth. She was up there, and I'd follow along with Caroline's journey over the past few months, and it's so exciting to just see her grow. And then you're 2024, 2025, Central Region Vice President from the state of Wisconsin, Mary Schreiber. And as we're recording this episode, Mary actually just shot me a message over on Instagram. So it's really cool. I'm really excited to see her grow and succeed in her position. And then you're 2024, 2025, National Secretary from the state of Ohio, Luke Jennings. So I'm also really excited to see him take over in that role. And I know he will do good. And then finally, your 2024, 25 National FFA President is from the state of Illinois, and it's Thaddeus Bergschneider. So, funny little story. I was walking around the expo hall, and I look up, and I see Josiah Cruikshank in front of me, and I'm like, okay, that's Josiah. Obviously, too scared to go talk, but I see Josiah, and then I look over, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that dude looks so familiar. And I realize, oh, that's Thaddeus, Bergschneider. And, I'm kicking air right now that I'd not get a picture, because I literally had the opportunity to meet the next national president. But I kind of fumbled the ball, and walked away. So, yeah. But it's so exciting to see those six new individuals get installed as national officers. It's so exciting. But with all the excitement, there is some sadness too. It's so sad because the six now past national officers had left a really profound impact on me, and seeing them for the final time hang up their jackets and put their put their alumni jackets on, it was just so emotional. I mean, every single one of them. Carter, he his humor, like, it was so exciting to just always see him be bubbly and happy about everything. Emily, she was just so outgoing and excited, and it was just like she has always got a smile on her face whenever you see a picture of her or see her as a whole. Canyon, I literally was ecstatic whenever I found out he was elected. No background whatsoever with him. Didn't really know anything about him, and then I saw that he was a national officer candidate. Went on and followed him, shot him a message saying, "Hey, good luck. You're gonna rock this. Just be you." And instantly I was like, okay, this dude is probably really cool. Unfortunately, I didn't get the chance to meet him at all this past year, but it's really, really cool. And then moving on to Morgan Anderson. So I've heard that she had a really, really good connection with a lot of Tennessee FFA members. So instantly I'm gonna end up liking her. So yeah, there's Morgan, and then you get to Grant, and I've told y'all that story. It's just, yeah, he's one of the nicest people that you could possibly ever meet. And then Amara. So Amara is one that she literally had so many people rooting for her whenever it was time for her to be called as national president. Amara, I remember at convention last year, we were walking to the escalators at Lucas Oil Stadium, and I see a Michigan FFA member with a button that says, "We love Amara." And I was like, okay, I wonder who Amara is. And as dang embarrassing as that sounds, I said that. And I went home and I looked at it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Amara is running for national office. And I just know that Michigan FFA was so proud when they heard your 2020. Yep. 2023, 2024 National FFA President is Amara Jackson. And it was just so inspiring to see her throughout the year and just the connection with her, and the officer team was just so empowering. But I know that that officer team is going to go and do so many great things in the future. I just know that they are going to be some of the most influential people in other people's lives. They have left their impact on so many FFA members. And I know that they will continue to go and impact so many other people from across the world. So that is, I think, pretty much it with the National Convention. It was a whirlwind of a week, and I literally may have gotten about 11 hours of sleep, ate about two meals, and drank about five Alanis. But I'm still here. I'm still standing, and I'm still working on college work to catch up from being behind this week. But overall, it was a great week, and I'm really excited for the future of FFA, and I'm really planning on trying my best to see if I can get one of the new national officers on the podcast sometime soon. We'll see how that ends up going, but I'm really crossing my fingers, hoping that I can swing it somehow. So if you're listening to this and you know you have a connection with a current national officer, shoot me a message, shoot them a message, and let's see if we can get something to work out. So anyways, that is all I have for this episode. I hope y'all enjoyed listening. I will be back either next week or the week after with another episode. I'm not sure yet. But yeah, thank y'all for listening, and I hope y'all have a fantastic week and continue to empower the future of agriculture. Thank you for listening.